This podcast was originally live streamed on the Non Sequitur Show on YouTube. New episodes air weekdays, Monday through Friday, at 8 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/nonsequiturshow. Make sure you never miss a live stream by visiting www.nonsecshow.com/schedule. For the latest news, polls and updates throughout the day, follow us on Twitter at nonsecshow or facebook.com/nonsecshow. That's NONSEQ show. If you'd like to get exclusive content, bi-weekly private hangouts with Kyle and Steve, backstage access to chat with guests after shows hosted on your channel and much more, become a Patreon saint of Non Sequitur. It ensures we continue to improve our show and brings you into the process at the same time. Visit patreon.com/nonsequitur today while the limited spots are still available.
The following podcast is intended for those who believe bold ideas are righteous, unique perspectives are gospel, and strong opinions are sacred. This is Non Sequitur. Never follow. And now, here are your hosts, Kyle Curtis and Steve McRae.
Hey, welcome, buddy, to Non Sequitur Show. I want you to introduce the new look Kyle has. He's decided to change his hairstyle, grow a little facial hair. Kyle, I'm loving the look, dude. It is. I think it's modern. I think it's updated. You look less gay, but that's your choice. But how are you, by the way?
Doing pretty good. I mean, I appreciated just trying it out for a couple of days. You know, I hear people are into the dad bod thing. I think I went a little overboard, but you know.
Yeah, the Bob. You know what? I think I prefer the old style. But anyways, this isn't Kyle. Kyle, unfortunately, isn't feeling well. He's a little under the weather and sick. So we got Lion here. He's a Patreon of the channel. He's going to help me co-host this really kind of different and out of the way kind of a topic, I think, which is two girls, one mic, porncast, which is actually a podcast that's called a porncast, correct?
Indeed.
Correct.
Play on words there. Awesome. And correct me if I'm wrong, but you two lovely ladies actually watch porn, but actually rate the... Let's just say non-sexualized portions of the thing, or do you rate it all? Fill me in on how this actually works here.
I would say, and Alice, let me know if you disagree. I'd say we do rate the sexual portions as well, but our focus is the plot.
Awesome,
correct.
Awesome. So, yeah. so you're Yvette, right? You're also known as Cybabe.
Indeed.
The Bunker of Pseudoscience. Very good. We love that.
It's what I do for funsies and for pay.
And occasionally you can tell a dirty joke or two.
I'm allowed to say cunt. It's a good job if you can get it.
Man, and you get paid for that. You know what? We need to talk and trade places, I think.
Yeah, getting paid to tell people they're full of shit. It's great work if you can find it.
I would love to. Actually, that's kind of what I do when I'm not a non sequitur, actually. And we got Alice Vaughn. You're actually the creator of Galaxy Bath Bombs.
Yeah, but I'm more true? Well known for my yes, I am. But I'm more well known for my other product, Offensive Crayons.
Offensive Crayons. Tell us what Offensive Crayons. Oh, okay, wait. Are these like crayon names that
have
like
three
dirty
boxes
names
of them right in front of me? I can read some of the colors.
Yes, I
want to
see.
Hold on, let me grab.
Oh, this
them.
Is gonna be interesting.
Jeez. This is gonna be awesome. I want to know what some of these colors are.
So they're crayons with fun names on them. Everything from miscarriage maroon to boner pill blue. Privilege.
So the holiday edition.
Oh,
and I know that my video is not coming in. All right, okay. So they have like a little Santa hat on the thing, but all it says is holiday edition. The original, which Here we go. And now the best one is the political edition that just came out. Red, white, and fuck you.
that's my motto as an American. Yes, red, white, and fuck you.
Yeah, politics in a nutshell, right?
Yeah, I mean, and I try to be an equal opportunity offender. So,
oh yeah,
but these friends are. Guess what? Go ahead.
No one's off limits on it.
These are crayons are not for children, I assume, right?
Well, it depends on who your parents are.
And blind children can use them.
Yeah, they won't be able to read it. And by the way, I guess, your name is Ion, right? Not Lion. I mispronounced it because the Dave, the wrong name on it.
Oh, yeah, it's Ion.
Okay. I want to clarify that for our viewers there. So let's get back to the crayons here real quick because I'm so interested in it.
Taxation is, let's see. Taxation is theft, yellow. Let's see. Mainstream media, clickbait, coral. Let's see. Citizens United, green. There are some good ones in this one. Let's see. This is probably my favorite. Everyone's a racist except me.
That's white. Those are brilliant.
Yeah.
Those are brilliant.
I mean, I liked. And the original pack, the white one, was privileged. So, I mean, I'm just saying, we go after ourselves. We go after liberal things. We go after not so liberal things and everything in between. So it's just, if it's out there, we find a way to fucking poke at it. And by we, I mean Alice and me occasionally contributing one sentence.
I bet you guys would have to play Cards Against Humanity with you guys. It'd be great.
Oh, that would be deadly.
I have definitely won most horrible person while playing Cards Against Humanity multiple times, so that is not surprising.
It's why she's my best friend.
I like the fact that you guys said you were equal opportunity offenders, because I happen to like comedy, and I'm old school. I'm one of those people that I think offense is taken, and I think that comedy shouldn't really be comedy should be without bounds. I don't think that people should be limited to what they find to be funny. If they don't think something is funny, they don't listen to it. Humor is, subjective. And so I say a lot of things that I know people can get upset with. And even though it's fine, I think it's funny. If they don't, so be it.
I think humor,
especially offensive humor, is one of those things where it's exceptionally controversial because, as you mentioned, it's subjective. Everyone has their own line and limits, but it's really important because there's so many topics that people can't discuss, empathize, and or approach unless they can do it through a venue of comedy. And plus, I mean, if we can't joke about things, then we can't really talk about them. It was funny, I was on a forum the other day and someone said to me, no, all Holocaust jokes are offensive, every single one of them. And the person I knew for a fact, because my great crayon and your audience, half of them are going to tune out after they hear this one.
Look, I'm her designated Jew. I approve of this.
Mazel tov. Exactly. I'm Jewish. I'm Jewish. Yeah.
Look, it was passed through her sensitivity filter.
Yeah. So the great crayon is called Auschwitz Ash. And
I
had relatives who died in the Holocaust. I'm just saying.
I did too.
And I still thought the crayon was hilarious.
Look, when that person on that forum, they were bitching about, no one can make jokes about the Holocaust. I knew for a fucking fact that they laughed at that joke. So I first off called them out. I was like, first off, you laughed at that crayon. Second of all, I'll give you a gold star for trying.
Yeah, see, I believe that comedy is a therapeutic device, and I believe that we know these topics are very sensitive. When people talk about very, very sensitive topics all the time, and we're not making light of the subject, but what it is these are coping mechanisms when people laugh at certain things.
Exactly.
Obviously, the whole thing with the Holocaust was just atrocious. One of the worst events in the history of humankind.
Exactly.
But by having comedy, this is one of the ways that some people cope with these things. I'm one of those people, so I wouldn't take offense like that because it's not the intent.
And I gave a talk last year, and somebody came up. Part of it was saying, humor is a great way to approach some of these subjects that we can't get people to come around on, that are hard to broach. And I used the example of The Producers because there are other movies. I'm sorry, this went to not look. I lost Godwin's Law quickly, but work with me on this. We're already at Auschwitz ass. So I feel like it's a short jump to Hitler. But I said, there are
obligatory jump, though, right?
Yeah, exactly. It was going to get that anyway. Go ahead. In my in my Jewish grandmother's honor, I had to do this. But she, there was, you know, all these, there are a lot of movies that talk about, you know, these subjects that kind of glamorize or make Nazis look kind of badass and kind of sexy. However, you look at the producers and you can take this awful force and reduce it down to, we're laughing at you with your own words. Like, and right. And somebody came up to me from the audience afterwards and said, my grandmother was a Holocaust survivor. And the first time she was able, she wouldn't ever say a word about it. The first time she could talk about it was after watching The Producers, because suddenly it made it okay. It made it somehow okay to laugh at it and then process it. So humor helps.
Yeah, it kind of breaks that glass, you know, kind of helps get that bridge going to, you know, not acceptance, but being able to at least, you know, move on a little bit, address it. That kind of stuff.
Yeah, you're not approving of the actions, obviously. But how'd you get stuck with the Gentile?
It's, you know, I found a lost alone and wandering through the desert, and I'm like, you can be one of us if you need to, sweetheart. So that's how that
I have well, I have 0.7% Jew in me. Excuse you.
Oh, okay. Okay. So it's not a Shannon Fitzgoyim, if you know what that is. Okay.
I'm more Southeast Asian than she is Jew. At least according to
Ian,
who knows?
Ian, you're the only non-Jew in here, man. Welcome. Let me ask you this. Just say
pressure now.
Yeah. Before you get into the your podcast, and there's one other movie that I will bring to your attention. Have you ever watched The Aristocrats?
We know everyone involved on that.
Okay. I was just having dinner last night with Jackie Martling.
Was she one of the comedians in the
Jackie movie? The Joke Man Martling?
Jackie, it sounds familiar. But which one was she? 20 years.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay, yeah, okay. Howard Stern, gotcha. See, like that movie, I didn't think was funny, right? But some people did, right? I get the entire concept, the over meta narrative of the show, of the movie, right? And I agree that with the meta narrative, but of course, this wasn't my cup of tea, right? But some people thought it was funny, right? And it was one of those vile, disgusting, dirtiest all-time things there is.
And that's the point
as far
of
as
it.
The truth. That's the point of it, right? Mm-hmm. That's the whole point of it, that they allowed to do it. Go ahead.
Yeah, and it's like Penn from Penn & Teller was one of the main, I think he was one of the producers, but it was, I guess they had to edit out, like their sound editor had to edit out him laughing. As if you've heard him laugh on his podcast or any of his stuff, he has this crazy loud laugh. And it was, you know, and he obviously digs this type of humor. It's for someone, which is why it's like this stuff doesn't exist to create a market for it. This stuff exists because there is a market for it and people want to laugh at it.
Exactly. For sure. Okay. So I guess we're going to kind of dive into the reason why you guys are here. And that's one of our favorite subjects to talk about, porn. Now I'm kind of fortunate that I got a co-host now, because usually when it comes to porn, I have to do everything solo. So I'm glad I got a partner this time.
Sounds highly masturbatory.
I'm happy to help out. I am a Kyle replacement here after all. So I'm happy to help.
Yeah. Well, I don't have sex with Kyle either. So that's something I have in common with him.
Maybe I can inspire you to change that. Who knows?
Well, You know what? Buy me a few drinks first. You know, I may be cheap, but I'm not free. So tell us about your podcast here. I'm really curious what you guys actually do with this two girls and one mic here.
So we do a couple things. So we review the holes and the plot holes of your favorite porn. So yes, we actually care about the continuity in pornography, cinematography, all the writing, all that fun stuff. But we also not only do that, but we also talk to people within the actual industry, try destigmatizing it and learning more about it. So that way our audience can learn overall, not only more about the industry itself, but to have better sex lives and, you know, really understand what's going on with all these people that we're benefiting from, but not really talking to or about an entire industry that's kind of affecting everything from censorship laws to tax law to you name it, copyright. It's this huge thing that no one talks about.
I mean, that, and it was a great joke that started the podcast.
Yeah,
it was. I'd given, and I mean, Alice is the person who will make any. She's like, I see a thing that's funny, I can make this happen. And we were just like, we bounce ideas off of each other regularly. And I had just given a talk on why bad science in the movies is perfectly fucking okay. And I was picking on Neil deGrasse Tyson a little bit for his whole Neil deGrasse Tyson destroys your favorite movies this summer thing. And I'm like, you know, destroying the bad science in movies is like destroying the plot line in a porno. No matter what, you're still getting what you went in there for. And then I was like, wait, there's a market for destroying the bad science in movies. Maybe there's a market for destroying the plot lines in porno. So just Alice and I were talking about it.
Someone had to jump on it, right?
You want to go wreck some porn movies.
Okay. If there wasn't wrecking already in them, there was going to be after we were done with them.
Well, the fact that, you know, okay, plot holes and porn seem to kind of go together. I don't think that many of them are supposed to be well scripted, and nowadays most of
you have flips, not but... seen oh, Fact to the Future.
Sir. No, I have sir. Not.
And the Big Lebowski
Triple
X.
Well.
Lebowski Triple X. Yeah.
Big Lebowski Triple X.
Watch it. I'm not even fucking with you for the cinematography values.
Is this something?
You know, okay, for so, a plot, so legitimately.
Go ahead,
seriously.
Oh, you know what?
We there was it. This Star Wars one I saw a while back. It was called A New Hole or something like that. It was a parody of A New Hope. That one actually like gets pretty much every plot device of the actual movie down to a T. I was really impressed. Yep. It's probably one of my favorites.
That's what we look for is, you know, we love the parody ones and we love kind of the old crazy experimental ones. Like I still have kind of... Yeah, Night Dreams, Cafe Flesh. I met somebody, a former porn actor who auditioned for Cafe Flesh. Yeah,
wow.
This happened like 2 weeks ago, and he seemed a little angry when I said that the porn acting was better now than it used to be. I'm like, dude, just because you were a bad actor, it's not my fault.
Get better, man. Get better at your performance. Some of these movies, like, for example, if I correct me wrong, but there was a movie back when called Pirates that was like $1 million budget. Mm-hmm. This was a high-end. You think that the porn companies are now investing in those kind of things? They're trying to legitimize them in the actual mainstream and all? Because back in the 70s, way before everybody was here, back in my time, even though I was too young to watch back then, but as I grew
and
up,
it really
I
wasn't on 70s, the but... internet.
No, I got to tell you, this is a true story. Back when, you know, before people had the internet and stuff like that, we had something called Select and On TV, and these were actually broadcast over the UHF bands. And so I remember back in like 1985, give or take, right, the early mid 80s, and I had a little analog TV. And you would turn a little dial, and what it would do, it would be kind of off the fundamental frequency a little bit. But Select TV and OnTV were coming over it, and it was scrambled. So if you tune it just a little bit off the fundamental frequency, sometimes that scramble would go away, and you get a whole picture. Like, you're like, nipple, that's nipple.
Every
I swear to God,
you're like,
black and white, but, yeah.
Every so often you're like, I see an ultra-weird-looking vagina, but I'm into it.
Oh, I don't know if I would have recognized that at that age. That's, yeah, I knew it. I knew what boobs looked like, yeah.
All I'm saying is
like,
the whole fetish that we're going to find out eventually.
That people like, because they grew up jerking off to bad video quality porn that they got from like hunting on those dials.
Oh, 4K would have killed me.
Now.
Well, yeah, 4K would have killed me. I wouldn't know what I've done.
I was going to say, let's not forget that if you had an 8mm projector, you were gold. If you had an 8mm projector, you could get some pretty... decent porn on 8mm.
Yeah, the only reason I watch porn nowadays is to make sure that nothing's changed biologically speaking.
Oh yeah.
You know, I know there's a lot of updates and a lot of things may have changed, so just to keep myself informed about if everything still works the way it's supposed to work.
Yeah, that's my excuse for watching porn too. I need to make sure
science,
my vagina isn't broken.
Definitely.
It's for science. That's it. Biology. Yes, Alice?
Yeah, I do it because I like orgasms.
But to answer your question regarding budgets within porn, so no, it's actually not the route that most production companies are going towards. So the thing is, as opposed to 10, 15, 20 years ago, where there was a lot more money in pornography because most of it was video sales. Most of it wasn't pirated. The problem is nowadays, most people just go to the clip sites and don't pay for their porn. So we have this entire culture of people who just expect born to be free. And so what happened is, of course, nowadays, there's not a lot of money to create this type of content. So we always tell people, we're always big advocates of paying for porn, which I know for a lot of people feels out of the norm, but you're, I mean, think of the people who are making this. They have the hardest job possible getting you off, and they're content creators at the end of the day. So just like you guys have a YouTube channel or someone's an artist or a photographer, they're fucking, but for entertainment.
Yeah, well, at my age, when the wind blows, you know, I'm done. So, yeah, it doesn't really take that much. But what? So, where is the revenue coming from these movies? Where, I mean, let's say a woman does a scene, or a man gets a scene, they get paid a couple hundred bucks. How are they getting the studio making money off of this then?
Nowadays, I mean, Yvette.
Well, there are a handful of different avenues. I mean, it's the revenue streams are significantly less because people don't have to and don't buy them on DVDs. But for like it's for some places, it's for monthly subscriptions. For a lot of women who have their own fan sites or are on what was the service that that Riley just told us about? She's opening one.
Oh, there's OnlyFans clips for sale. So there's websites like that where people could support the individual performers.
Yeah, and I mean those are ways that people manage to keep the revenue back where it was before porn really got started to not be paid for.
There are memberships you can also have.
All right, no, please go ahead. We got a little bit of delay here, so please forgive me.
Sorry, there are also memberships you can have to different sites. Of course, all these sites are making ad revenue as well. You know, Pornhub isn't just counting on people to pay for stuff. But that's the thing. I mean, there are ways that you can support performers. I mean, we're really big advocates of, if you have a favorite porn performer, they have a site, they're probably producing clips, they're probably selling stuff. A lot of the production companies nowadays are working generally in tandem with a company like MindGeek, which owns like all the porn sites. So that way they can have money to create some of the content and get some of that revenue. But yeah, it's just, as Yvette mentioned, it's there, but it's a lot less.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine. I know, I have a friend, she's a BDSM expert. And so she's on YouTube and she teaches people about BDSM. She actually lives like 15 minutes from me and we head out all the time. She's amazing. She's been on this channel. People may know her, Brittany Simon. And, what she does is she has sponsorships with like Adam and Eve. And so they'll get her product, she'll use the product and then give a rating kind of thing on it and kind of promote it that way. So these porn performers that are having their webpage, they're having these private clips or having these private sessions, I think is a wonderful way to make revenue. And I think that people should support that way. And also there's like the Chatterbaits things and the live webcam things too, that I know that they would do as well. This is an easy way to give back to them. Cause I think I agree with you. I think it's a job, right? I mean, they're doing a job, they're doing it for the money. And I like the fact that many of them are using Twitter nowadays and they're actually talking to people and cultivating a fan base rather than having this like aloof, I'm a porn star and I'm too hot for you, blah, blah. No, they actually get to know their fans. And we've had some actually similar guests on. I was talking to you, Alice, before we went on air. So do you think that that's something new too, that these porn performers are kind of getting more into social media and getting to know their fans and treating them like they, like any other type of business, like making it normative?
Yeah, they have to diversify themselves. I mean, the whole thing is now they have to market, they have more, here's the thing, the pie is going to be a lot smaller because it's spread out over so many people. But the thing is now there's so many more opportunities to make money for everything from selling your underwear, selling photos, selling clips. You have Twitter, so you could have social media accounts. By the way, there's some hysterical porn stars like Missy Martinez and Kate Kennedy. I mean, Jesus, they were fucking funny when we had them on the show.
Was it Sylvia who we were hanging out with at the Magic Castle? Yeah, she was fucking hysterical. And she does stand up.
So a lot of these also performers, they not only like do stand up, they're also writers. They have their hand in so many pots, but they have to because, again, like you can't just rely on DVD sales. So they have to diversify themselves. But I mean, it's cool because now you can find someone who's really up in your niche. So.
Yeah. I mean, part of having the internet available is like, you know, I think everyone, like people who were in porn got on it around the time when everyone else was realizing, oh, Twitter is a way to do this. It's just porn stars back in the, you know, 70s, 80s, 90s didn't have Twitter.
No. And they didn't have the quality of video that's out there now. Like I said, back in those days, sure. 70, oh my goodness, right? I mean, it's like going from 240p to 4K and going, holy crap, that's what a vagina looks like. Holy crap, I had no idea, you know?
We love that Unbleached Asshole is back in now.
What's that? You love that assholes are back in? I didn't know they were back in.
No. We're enjoying that Unbleached Asshole is back in now.
Oh, Unbleached. Like, just
Let the asshole be the color it wants to be.
Look, I'm all cool with like scaping and stuff like that, but if you got to start dyeing stuff down there, there's probably a problem. You know, you don't need a bleacher. No.
I mean, we get, we'll hear people who don't know much about this universe or only click on the things on the front page of Pornhub. They'll say, you know, it's the industry has only people that are completely shaven down there that look, that only have a certain look to their genitalia. And it's like, no, you just have to look you have to take a 5-second search to find what you're looking for. But like, yeah, there is pubic hair back in all over the place.
I specifically look for retro stuff myself.
You like a little turf on the field there.
Oh yeah. I actually had a question, kind of back to the video thing. I know that some of the things that, you know, some places have been doing to combat it is a little bit of exclusivity when it comes to the sites themselves. Like I think it was a Fortnite parody recently that was released exclusively on Pornhub. You could watch like a decent free version, but if you paid, you could get a little bit extra. And I'm assuming that was pretty good support for the actors and stuff like that. But I guess the question I'm leading into is, do you think there's a more possible, like probable future that streaming sites like Hulu, Netflix, that kind of stuff might add like an adult only section and that could help with some of the revenue?
I would, I figure we both have opinions on this. If I had to guess, at least right now, because of Sesta Fosta, I think they wouldn't touch it with a 39.5-foot pole. And I'm not sure, a lot of things would have to change in terms of like their legal, responsibilities if they're hosting porn as opposed to stuff that's hashtag basically porn. But that's, I think part of the thing that might block this right now is, you know, is just the possible legal ramifications because of Sesta Fosta.
Alice?
And how about you, Alice?
Yeah. So, I agree with Yvette that there definitely are implications because of Sesta Fosta. Now, that said, I know that there kind of is a Netflix of porn at the moment. Actress and producer Brie Mills came out with Adult Time, which kind of is that. But that's the question. Are people going to pay for porn? How is that money going to get back in? I don't know, considering... just how all of these conglomerates own each other, of how many porn sites, I don't know, can be affected if they're going to want to compete. I would love if there was more competition, because unfortunately the biggest issue right now is that, in my opinion, there's a huge monopoly within porn because of MindGeek, and because of MindGeek being this massive monopoly, it's kind of influencing how a lot of trends are going. I mean, if it wasn't for MindGeek, we wouldn't have the clip sites. If it wasn't for MindGeek, the new UK laws as far as censorship were basically built around a lot of their standards of, well, hey, we sat down with these people and they seem to own, well, all the biggest porn sites that like 90% of people go to. So let's work with them. So
MindGeek is basically the Luxottica of the porn universe. You think you're going to different stores for your glasses? They're all one big place. Same thing with
they're like a Canadian-held private business that has they actually own all the domains.
Basically, top 100 domains, everything that you can name, they own. So,
And we're not saying they're an evil corporation. It's just, you know,
no,
they're in competition.
Yeah, well, here's okay. Look at, like, for example, Amazon. I mean, they already sell adult products, right? You could buy pretty much. You could get a $5,000 blow up doll, I guess, from Amazon if you really want to. So, I and they also do streaming with their Prime service. You actually have streaming services, and you get movies from them. I don't see why it would be a big change in the way they do business if they offered more of adult things, as far as streaming or exclusivity of the actresses or things of that nature. You think there'd be an issue with that, Alice?
Considering that Amazon doesn't know how to filter its content already, I mean, actually, during this show, okay, I'm not even kidding when I say this. So in the past, I've been banned from Amazon. And actually, as we were recording, I just got our email saying that my crayons have yet again been banned from Amazon. So I keep being banned off there, and they can't control crayons.
Man. That, so are you serious? It's really banned for what, offensive speech?
Actually, I'm not even kidding you. The first legal letter I got from them was because I offended, and I can't make this up because it's so beautiful. I was offending children and Caucasians.
Children?
Wow.
The first children. Hold on, let's get out the first pack. The white crayon, I gotta tell you, man. Privilege.
Privilege? I like that, actually.
Yeah.
I can see a bunch of two-year-olds rioting. You know, fuck that bitch and her fucking white privilege crayon. Yeah, I can see that happening right now.
Let's see. Your parents' divorce was your fault, Peach.
That was probably true, though. Yeah, I see that. Yeah, I don't know why that one's offensive. That one's probably 90% of the time. Yeah.
I mean, may not have said that the crayons were made in a sweatshop by, like, the fingers of a 6-year-old.
A quarter an hour.
Well, see, you could have made it even generous. You could have said they were made out of the fingers of the 6-year-old.
They got medical. They get band-aid.
The wax is so much better.
They're just so neutral.
I don't know why people have fans to this shit. I don't get it. See, I'm actually outraged by this. Can you tell? Like, yeah, there's outrage. It's like that's what outrage looks like. But I
here's
don't
the
get
sad thing: is there are
so
some colors that I won't say on the air because I'm like, I don't want someone to take that out of context and get me canceled. How sad is that?
They'll do that too. No, they'll do that. They'll all they hear is like one specific thing. In fact, Kyle likes to tell a story where he was rapping along to some song, and of course that that special word was coming into it. And he's thinking, "Can I get away with it? Can I get away with it? No, I can't do it." Probably a wise decision, you know.
Like, breast cancer awareness is a scam. Pink.
Oh, geez.
Wow.
I'm sorry, I couldn't say Susan G. Korman Foundation.
That's one of the rules, right? Is no corporations.
No, what was it about corporations?
Isn't one of the rules with naming these that they can't, you can't name, like, put any specific names for corporations on them, or?
Exactly. So
that makes sense.
Pepsi sucks or something like that. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Well,
so people kept giving me names, and I said, "Yeah, I don't want to get sued."
Yeah, I feel bad about the one that I know I named in this pack, so I'm not even gonna say which one it is. There's one, and it's a doozy.
Is there one called "What Color Is Your Ass Hair"? Because people are actually in the live chat, they want to start a business. They're talking about this live chat right now. If they're saying, like, if you're not sure what color your asshole hair is, they're going to start a business where you can actually show it to them, and they'll tell you what it is. If you can't look for yourself, you know, you don't want to look for yourself. So hey, whatever. That's entrepreneurship right there. You can make a fortune with that. Send us your asshole. We'll tell you what your color hair is.
Fond connection to Miscarriage Maroon. That one, it got me through a hard time in my life. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
I get the most shit about.
Can you give us a ballpark of how many of these actually sell?
I do sell a fair amount of them. I'm actually I'm really excited about a potential partnership that I can't announce yet. But if it happens, then you'll be seeing a lot more of the crayons, ideally, hopefully. But we do sell them also in, globally, as well as we're in some stores, even like Menkind, which is a Spencer's of UK. They're all on board with selling our crayons, as well as a number of different websites online. So, but, you know, we have everything at offensivecrayons.com. But my favorite is when people send in color names. Now, I've actually created a little bit of a guidebook. There's 7 rules I found to creating a really good name.
Yeah. Can you give us one first, a hint?
I'll give you all seven. So awesome. Just really quickly. Yeah. Let's hear. Number one, does it offend anyone or make a point?
That has to be a yes. Has to be a why bother.
Exactly. So I'll have a lot of people who say something like placenta pink. I'm like, all right, okay, so where are we going with this?
What is offensive about a placenta pill pink, on the other hand?
Ooh, there you go.
Oh, yeah. You know that's going to be a crayon, and you're welcome.
Edible placenta and a salad or something green? I don't know.
Oh, geez.
Placenta and avocado toast is the new.
There you go. Hey, that's all the rage among millennials. Yeah.
Yeah, it's how the kids are making babies these days. Is, you know, they're eating the afterbirth just like gerbils.
Bacon, lettuce, and placenta.
I was told this before. Oh, actually, you know what? I'll save it. Just finish the other six because I'm curious about them. I'm going to ask you guys something that I heard is a true story. I still have my doubts about it. But since you two are the porn experts, you probably would be the people to go to ask for this. But what are the other six, Alice?
Is there a joke or at least an alliteration to make it sound fun? Is it topical? Because the fact is that if it's topical, no one's going to care 2 years or even 2 months from now. I once had a color called United Red Eye when United was beating the shit out of their customers. No one remembers that.
So if you want, so you'd have to say like sphincter silver for like alliteration, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, it sounds good, but again, offend someone,
it doesn't offend anybody. Yeah.
Like someone will be offended by the fact that the word sphincter exists. How dare you name a delightful body part? But that's it's not quite. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Will I get sued for using this person organization's name? If it's super political, it's likely topical, so it probably won't work. And then, let's see, the last two are basically, does a joke about X group already exist in a set? Which a lot of times people will send me jokes I've already made. But my favorite rule is, will the dumbest person I know get the joke?
That has to be rule number one, actually, I think. Yeah.
That's a good rule for a lot of.
Yeah. So for example, the alternative names for the black crayon. So the black crayon, I settled on Lives Matter. And it felt relevant, especially if we're going to pair it with privilege.
I like the privilege one for your white crayon. That one actually works really well.
Yeah.
The two alternatives for black was just calling it black.
Which feels like it would have been a little too, like, there. I feel like there might have been more phone calls than for the Lives Matter. Yeah, very meta.
Yeah, like, on the
news. Look, like I said, it doesn't matter what you say. People are getting offended. For example, like, you know, Kyle can say he likes gay men. Nobody cares a crap, right? I say I like black women, and the whole live chat goes fucking nuts, right? I swear to God, they talk about this like 5 hours. Look at Steve. I'm like, so what? How is that offensive that I happen to say that I happen to like black women? What possible motive would somebody have to think that is an offensive comment? I don't get it.
How dare you think they're gorgeous?
Well, some people take it as a fetishization. Right. And I think I think some people, if they hear have a preference for, they automatically see that as fetishizing the person, gender, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, no, I think someone could just be like this, you know, I'm looking for a personality within this subset of people that I'm more attracted to.
Yeah, I don't think that's fetishization at all, actually. I mean, in fact, I don't even know what certain fetishes are. When I talk to Brittany and she tells me what she encounters in her little circles, I'm like, I'm the most vanilla motherfucker on the planet, right? I mean, I didn't know how this shit existed. Right? I mean, Ian, you obviously checked out certain of these things. Have you ever gone to a site and said, holy shit, that cannot be freaking real? People cannot actually be doing that. And yet it's a fetish and a niche. Yeah?
The craziest part is not only seeing it on a website, but then like finding out, you know, that maybe even someone you knew in real life is like really into these things. Not in like a judgmental way, but just like, holy crap, that's real?
Yes.
Look, I'm just saying I haven't gotten over pterodactyl porn. That's still stuck in my.
I learned about that ages ago.
Yeah, it's still one of the weirder. Like the thing with the pterodactyl porn is that they would occasionally flap. They'd flap their little pterodactyl costume wings, and I haven't. Goddamn, the Germans make some interesting stuff.
You're forgetting the hand puppet.
I was trying to forget, but yeah, that was a.
Now you can give her nightmares.
Some things in night dreams were whew, the cream of wheat box.
So let me ask you this. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, if you ever want to watch something interesting and or, we're going to just go with interesting. It's a woman who's cleaning dishes, and she decides to have a little fun by blowing a life-size box of cream of wheat to the tune of Old Man River that's being played on a saxophone by a piece of toast in the background.
Okay.
They did some weird shit in the 70s, and we're here for it.
Was it the 70s or was something like done last week?
70s. It was, and this was Night Dreams. It was one of the earlier ones that we reviewed, so who knows how bad we sounded. Man, that was that one made me go, yeah, we need to not do the experimental shit for a while. I need to see some more assholes stuffed with two fists at a time before I'm ready to go back to somebody being fucked with a jack in the box.
Go ahead, and then I want to get into these movies real quick. I'm looking at some of these names.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, you got to have a lot of respect for someone that's nailed it down to that exact detail. That she knows what she wants, man.
Hey, I literally just found out that there's actually courses that you can take for it. Brittany told me there's actually courses you can take in fisting. I'm like, wait, you have to first of all go learn this? This is like a course you can take? Really? I guess so. So here's my answer to this question that I really don't get. Now, do you tell me if this is true? You guys are women, so you get this right up your purview. Hopefully you can tell me if this is true or not. I have been told that, anecdotal evidence, that a large majority of men, for whatever reason, actually have no idea if their life depended on it and how to find a clitoris. Is that true? If you actually...
Majority of men yet, I'm working on it. But I think people have a much easier time finding the clitoris than they think they do, because even like there are women who have vaginal orgasms as opposed to clitoral orgasms. And when they in general, when they're having a vaginal orgasm, it's from the clitoris being hit from all the pressure just from banging. So that's like everyone in some way, when you're just rubbing around down there, one of the terms before this would be tribbing. It's a thing that right. A lot of lesbians do to rub all their stuff together. Anyways, there's a
sign language here. Sign language.
It's like basically if you're rubbing about 2 inches above the butthole, eventually you're gonna find a spot that makes her scream in a happy way. Stick to that spot. Look up an anatomy chart.
I mean, Alice, what about you? Do you think that? I mean, have you had guys that didn't know what the fuck it was?
So let me put it this way. So I'm going to be the controversial one here and say that I feel like, oh man, I'm going to get so much hate mail for this. I feel like a lot of people.
We're going to give you her email here in a second, people. So write to her about this.
Email us info@2girls1mic.com.
We will take all your hate mail. It's okay. We'll take your questions, your hate mail, not your dick pics, though. If you send us your dick pics, we will talk about your dick pics on the air and we will send them to your mother.
You might like that. So, yeah.
Oh God.
I feel like there are a lot of people who don't know anatomy. I had a girl I was hanging out with this weekend, and don't know how we got into this topic, but I had to convince her that she did not pee out of her clitoris. So
yeah, I have. You know what? You're right. I have this argument with people too.
No, you're not getting away with that. Credit. No, that can't be true.
Yeah, you're right. I misoverestimated, to paraphrase George Bush.
Was she a flat earther too?
She was fairly smart for the most part. Even a lawyer. But,
I met plenty of a people lawyer. Who have that same thought.
No, Steve, though, this shit is real. Like, best friend, right? Best friend for 20 years. The year I decided to go over to Thanksgiving with him, we actually got to be part of the process where his grandparents found out that the reason that it's hurt so much all these years is because he was actually trying to fuck her clit and not her pussy.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God.
There's so many problems with that, what you just said. See, I understand maybe that a guy may not, or even a woman, may not know where a G-spot is, right? Because, you know, if there is a myth, I think there actually is, because if you try hard enough, you can find a spot that actually works. But I can understand...